merrily on high. In heaven the bells are ringing.
Jingle merrily the sky is ringing with angels singing.
Is ringing with angels singing glory, 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 glory. Hosanna in excelsis.
Capital University every holiday season does an extravaganza. That's an overused word, but it's the only one that works for this. Several different choruses separately and together and an orchestra, and you can't get a seat in Maze Hall. You can't get in the Maze Hall has 1,100 seats, and you do four or five performances. So be there or be square. Get yourself tickets now. Linda Hassler is here, director of choral activities at Capital University, and she is very much a huge part of this yearly undertaking. So what's new?
Well, I'm very excited about this concert. Our theme, as you know, there's always a theme each year, is Be Transformed. And a little closer, here I am, a little closer to the microphone. And our artwork is a butterfly, and you rarely associate a butterfly with Christmas. But the story of transformation, when you think about it, the Christmas story is the divine becomes mortal. Ebenezer Scrooge becomes grumpy, stingy old man to generous, good guy. The Grinch tries to steal Christmas and realizes you can't steal Christmas. It's about love. And so elements of all of that are in this concert. Renaissance composers, we're singing a few recits from Handel's Messiah as it happens. Some more contemporary composers like Dan Forrest, Erics Eschenwalt, Sean Kirchner. And probably new this year is there are a couple of music theater tunes in this. Yes, Andrew Lloyd Webber, Stephen Schwartz. So there's something for everyone. And I'd like to say one more thing about the storytelling, if I might. I guarantee this year to the audiences that within the first 5 minutes of this performance, they will become vulnerable in that room, partly thanks to Fred Rogers and a beautiful reading that we are opening with. And
very
be,
timely right now. Thank you, Tom Hanks.
I know. I can't wait to see that movie. And then the concert ends in a spectacular way with a big surprise ending. And that's all I can say, because, of course, people will need to come see it for themselves.
I think it's fair to say that what you do is it's a show.
It's
a show. It really is a show. There are all kinds of elements. There's the visual, there's the literary, there's certainly the oral and what you hear and what you see. How is that? There's a great story about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, where the Friday after Thanksgiving Day, they have their first meeting for the parade next year. And I have an image in my head of you having that meeting the Monday after for next Christmas.
It's a little like that. I will say it's on my mind all the time. So whatever I do, wherever I go, I'm trying to stay open to what that next story will be that we tell. And, you know, there's a beautiful wave right now in choral music that we're calling choral theater, where it's no longer, you know, the audience has their place in their seats and the choirs on the stage and they stand still and they, you know, the audience does their job by applauding. This is, we surround the audience, we embody the music, we move, we animate to make the experience more personal and more engaging.
And do you see parents with the phones?
I have a very entertaining opening statement that discourages that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Because I'm so old, when I was a choral singer, people always had Kodak Instamatic cameras. You can look that up. But they had the flash cubes, so you'd have to flip the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
God forbid you take the, you know, you try to tell the parents they can't take the pictures. But at least there's
True.
No flash cubes today for that.
True.
So this is the first weekend in December. Is that, give us the dates and place. Give us the facts.
Yes. December 5, 6, and 7 are at 7:30. And Sunday, December 8, is at 3:30, Mace Hall.
Let me ask you both something. That weekend, everything's happening.
Yes.
Why is it that weekend? Everything, the first weekend of December, everything's happening. Any idea? You don't want to beat people up and say, I got dibs on that for next year, and you can pick another weekend? Or
we've not done that. I think partly we think, because we do multiple performances, that people really can consume all of that. And I think the closer you get to the holiday itself, people are traveling. There are the church lessons and carols you mentioned. So it does, in a way, distribute through the month. But yes, these big fests tend to be that first weekend.
And for me, the course is all volunteer, and many of the course members are school teachers, are church choir directors. So we do our concert because their concerts are coming up, and we do not rehearse after December the 8th, so that the schools and the churches, et cetera. And also our relationship with Ballet Met, the symphony begins to play Nutcrackers as soon as this performance
is
over.
That's true, yeah. And they do about 2 weeks' worth of performances and try to get a seat to that, too. I mean, it's wonderful. In all seriousness, Linda Hassler, in all seriousness, you don't play to empty seats in Mays Hall. What's the appeal? Why is it so? Aside from the fact that it's excellent, what's the appeal that there's never an empty seat?
Well, that's a wonderful question. A lot of people say year after year that it is the way they initiate the holiday season. So there's a tradition element there. There's a ritual of coming back to this concert. I do think because it's an unusual experience to be surrounded by the choir, and then there's at least five Christmas carols by the pipe organ and the brass, so they're also literally in the choir. So as you said, it's an experience, not just a concert.
How do we get tickets now?
The way I like to get tickets is call Kappa Ticket Center, because you get personal attention.
Right.
And that phone number, I can even say it for you, 614-469-0939. And then you can go on their website and get tickets that way. It will take you to Ticketmaster.
You can do that for the Columbus Symphony, too, correct?
Correct.
For Messiah and for the CSO Holiday Pops that we'll talk about in just a moment. Right now, I want to hear a little more music, and then we're going to take a quick break. This is Philomel at Capital University. Welcome back. I'm Christopher Purdy. Today's All Sides Weekend. We are talking about holiday programming with Linda Hassler, who is the Director of Choral Activities at Capital University, and Ronald J. Jenkins, who is the Director of the Columbus Symphony Chorus and Chamber Choir. Both of these great people are very, very busy all the time, but especially at this time of year. By the way, that was the OSU Men's Glee Club singing Veni Emmanuel. I played that because I love it. That's the only reason I played it, and because it's beautiful. There you are. So, Ronald Jenkins, it's time for also the CSO Holiday Pops, which is a great favorite for the community. That's coming up the first weekend in December as well. You've brought your Santa Claus hat with bells.
Yes.
Which is often worn on stage. But Santa Claus does come to this, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And there's a bell in here for every performance I've conducted. So this was given to me when we reached 100 performances, but this year it'll be, by Sunday afternoon, 116.
When did you begin doing this?
37 years ago.
Really?
Yeah,
the holiday.
I said there needs to be something downtown for our community that is that has the chorus in it. Because for me, the holidays is about singing and hearing the carols and hearing the sacred pieces.
And singing together. And by the way, I make the point that both of your performances encourage, there are places for the audience to sing, so you better brush it up before you show up down there.
That's true.
You have Santa Claus coming. You have all kinds of, you have readings and great familiar carols and a couple of pieces that belong in the concert halls. Tell us about this year's Holiday Pops.
Well, it's a feast for the eyes as well as for the ear, I think. And it begins, actually, when you park your car and you come up out of the parking lot and you see the Columbus Commons. It is just magnificent. thousands and thousands of lights, so it's decorated, and you're feeling the beauty of the season. You walk into the theater, and the lobby is decorated, and the stage is, and you're in that 2,800-seat, large, beautiful Ohio theater. This year we have not only the Columbus Symphony Orchestra and chorus, but the children's choirs, the New World Singers, the Santa Maria Chorus. We have Handbell Columbus performing, and we also have dancers from the Ohio State University Department of Dance. Susan Petrie there is doing the choreography for us. So it's a wonderful experience. I call it your one-stop shopping for your holiday music because there's something a little bit for everyone. The first half is for the serious music lover. We do a couple pieces that have been commissioned for us. We celebrate Hanukkah by doing two movements of the oratorio Handel's Judas Maccabeus, which includes Hallelujah Amen, which I affectionately call the other Hallelujah Chorus. We're doing the original Hallelujah Chorus this weekend with the Messiah. But there's some serious pieces, and the audience always looks forward to the time when the chorus sings something without the orchestra, a piece of a cappella music. And we're doing that. And for us this year, it's Vaughn Williams and also an arrangement I did of McKenzie's A Sweet Little Jesus Boy for a male soprano and chorus. Yeah, it's lovely. And the audience jumps in and sings. We have dancers for the Humperdinck, Hansel and Gretel, as well as the Vaughn Williams. And we get the audience involved singing with us the John Rutter 12 Days of Christmas. But then the second half, maybe I got this idea from you subliminally, Linda, we're taking everyone into the audience. I mean, the children and the entire adult chorus all over the downstairs as well as upstairs to do.
Well, if it's a full house, they may be sitting on laps. You should excuse the expression, but it's a good problem to have.
Possibly. Gary Fry is a wonderful young composer that writes for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. So we're doing his Deck the Hall with the audience and the chorus and the orchestra, plus those wonderful Wilcox settings of Christmas carols.
This is in the Ohio Theater. You're doing four performances over 3 days, so you're going to be busy. December 6th at 8, December 7th, 3 and 8, and December 8th at 3.
Right.
That could make you crazy. Go to the Kappa.com ticket office or the Columbus Symphony ticket, and they'll online. Kappa.com will take care of you for Capital University and for the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops. I do want to mention, of course, Craig Courtney, whose holiday overture is a big part of that every year. He's a colleague of yours at Capital University. He's probably a big part of what you do as well.
Yes.
He's arranged several of the carols that are going on. You started doing this 37 years ago. To look at you, one would not realize that or believe it. Do you hear from people who were brought there as children who are now bringing their children to the concerts?
Yes. In fact, we're taking advantage of that a little bit. I mean, the course is made up of adult volunteers, obviously, and they come, some of them, graduates from Capital University and Ohio State, Otterbein, and other universities, young people that end up in our community. But we actually have people that have sung this concert in the chorus who started in the children's chorus. So we're actually featuring six of them with six members of the children's chorus to do an arrangement of Silent Night this year. But yes, for some people, it's their, just like going to Linda's concert at Capitol, it's their Christmas tradition. It begins their season.
Does that make you feel like a grandpa?
Yeah, a little bit.
In a lovely way, you know.
Well, it's in a nice way. Yeah.
A grandma, you are not, Linda Hassler, but I'm just, because you have a young daughter yet, but I'm just saying, yeah. I mean,
or if you're at the store, if you're out shopping, buying groceries, or you're at one of the malls, and somebody walks up to me and says, are you Ron Jenkins? You know, and they've been to the Holiday Pops. And I'll say, yes. And they know it from going to Holiday Pops. And the question, are you doing my favorite piece this year? And, of course, I don't know what their favorite piece is, but they will tell me.
I get people with gray beards saying, you came to my school when I was in third grade. I'm sure I did. And it's nice of you to remember. The Holiday Pops. Now, tell me about the Columbus Symphony Chorus, because it's an all-volunteer chorus. The standard is always very, very high. The people are there because they want to be there.
Right.
And it's not easy to be there because you're kind of mean. So, I mean, so.
My expectations are high, but
yes.
I think it's the same for Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Your expectations are high, but the chorus and the people that work with you, their expectations are high for themselves
also.
And they do the drive. I mean, it's very, you don't have to motivate too much. because they know what the standards are and they want it to be that way, or they wouldn't be in the chorus. We've had really busy fall with Moravec's Sanctuary Road. Tell me about that.
That was done in October, we're going to hopefully broadcast that in the spring I work out the rights issues.
Well, this is the 400th anniversary of the first Africans brought to our country as slaves.
Yeah.
And that piece commemorates that date. Actually, we had our first rehearsal on that piece August 20th, 1619 was the date that happened. And so our first rehearsal this year was August 20th. And it's a very powerful piece indeed. And we're doing these four Messiahs this weekend. We'll do the four holiday pops. And a week after that, we're at the Schottenstein Arena as the choir for Andrea Bocelli with the Columbus Symphony Orchestra and Chorus. So, yes, it's a busy time.
It's a busy time.
And it's a huge commitment.
So I was going to say, right, and most of your people have day jobs.
Yes.
And lives and things like that. So they're working a lot of balance. I think probably people take vacation time in December so they can do all the singing they want to do.
There are people, yes, they do.
When did you begin conducting the Columbus Symphony Choir? Was that also 37 years ago?
1982, and we did our first Holiday Pops in 83.
What was the difference in that Pops program 37 years ago from what you would do now, if any? Good is good.
Good is good. One performance.
Oh, really?
You know, one performance because no one knew about it, and it was at the Palace Theater. I think it was 1999 we moved to the Ohio, it had many of the same elements. The children's choruses were added after a few years we'd been in it. I think many of the elements were the same, to do classical, sacred, and popular music of the season. I mean, those have been the three things that have been pretty consistent.
You have Handel's Messiah tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday in the Southern Theater. Russin Milanov is conducting the Columbus Symphony Orchestra and Chorus, the chorus that you prepared. But you did it last night as well. You did a run out last night.
Right, we did. We were in Circleville at Ohio Christian University, and we were on their concert series. They brought us down for that. Full house.
So five performances four performances in 5 days. That's a lot.
Yes, yes, it is. They introduced it. The president of the university said, well, this is sort of your run-out performance, like Handel took it to Dublin first before he brought it to London, you know.
It was a hit then. Linda Hassler, I want to ask you about just about being a musician in Columbus, Ohio, specifically at Capital University, but more, a little bit more community-wide than that. A lot of people who come to go to school at Capital or OSU graduate and stay.
Yes.
You know, even if they're not originally from the area, they graduate and they stay. This seems to be a good town, a good place if you want to make music. Tell me about your students, the makeup of your students, what you're finding these days as you begin to train college-level singers?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question. I think what is consistent as the generations have, you know, come on the scene slightly different is their curiosity and their zeal to get better. And that they say yes to most opportunities, which is good. I think there's a learning curve at first from what they thought being in a college music program was going to be and the level that it actually requires of them. And yes, we do have many of our students who, because Capital really seeks to engage with the other arts organizations in town, they get lots of experiences and connections. And I wonder if you know how many Capital grads are in the symphony chorus, but I think it's quite a few.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and so they love...
And they're often some of my better singers because they have learned intonation.
Well, thank you.
From Linda Hassler, yes.
And I think Columbus, by the way, is getting better all the time for a place for a young artist to stay or make home base. And right now, again, in this choral renaissance, we have many singers who have become a part of that circuit of professional choirs throughout the country. In fact, one of our singers right now, Alyssa Ruth Suver, is in town singing with our Capital bands. And she is singing for Conspirari, for Santa Fe Desert Chorale. She's on the LA Master Chorale roster. She's basically become connected. But that started here at Capital with the Lancaster Chorale and with our theater program and her experiences, and they grow. So I think we can be proud of what we're doing here in Columbus, and I hope everybody remembers what they have available to them. Live music, there's no substitute for that, and they must come and get that experience.
You have to sit in the hall, and you have to feel the seats vibrating around you with the sound. I mean, and in the floorboards of some of these older theaters that do, they do literally buzz.
Yes.
With the sound that's going on, and you need the frisson of the audience and the people. It's a community event of sitting with other people.
You feel like you're part of something.
Yeah.
It's so easy to stay at home and watch Netflix by yourself. That's not the worst experience, you know, but to remember that they can go and it's miraculous almost when you see groups of people open their mouths and make that kind of sound and you're a part of it. I just don't want anybody to miss it.
Carnegie Hall. Practice. I guess you don't need to because you're going.
Well,
let's talk about that a little bit.
Yes. The chapel choir will be the primary choir, but there are members of my community ensemble that will also be going to perform Vaughan Williams' Dona Nobis Pacem on Carnegie Hall stage with a professional orchestra. Two of our grads are doing the solo roles for that, Christopher Humbert and Grace Whipfley. And so I'm very excited about that.
I went to college with Grace Ripley's mother, apropos of nothing. Donna Tozer and I were college mates
just
there.
Wonderful.
And Christopher Humbert is going to have a big career.
Yes,
I'll
he
say
is.
No more, but that boy is going to, that young man is going to go places.
And yes.
You can get to Carnegie. Yeah, you brought him there. You did it.
And I'm happy to have done so. And we'll also be doing the Carnegie premiere. We premiered this work last year at National ACDA, but Jake Ronestad's A Silence Haunts Me, which is, the text has come from the Heiligenstadt Testament.
When
Beethoven, he's talking about his awareness that he's losing his hearing and his temptation to consider ending his life. And it's a beautifully, powerfully rendered work.
I heard you do it here, and it was devastating in a great way. And mm-hmm. I know that there were people in the audience who were very deeply affected by that.
Yes.
And he's a wonderful composer. So
he is. Consperari, their recording of Hope of Loving, was just one of the Grammy finalists for Best Choral Performance. So.
But let's review, because I want people to put this in their phones or write it down. We have the Butterfly at Capital University.
Yes.
The name again of the program?
Be Transformed.
Be Transformed when?
December 5, 6, 7 at 7:30. December 8 at 3:30. Kappa Ticket Office.
Mace Hall.
Capital University.
Hurry up.
Yes,
don't
please.
Dawdle, because people have been turned away from this. And you have several different choirs. You have an orchestra. You have an experience. And you will be in the midst of it when you're in the audience for that. And I've attended several times. It is not to be missed. Ronald J. Jenkins, when you leave here, you're going to go get ready for Messiah. The Messiah. He's coming. Yes, he's coming.
We're all getting ready. Right.
He's coming because you asked him to. That's at the Southern Theater tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday.
Right. And they're never the same. And I'm sure Linda can say this, too. Each performance is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the specialness of live performances.
The other thing about Messiah is it never gets boring. It never gets old, ever. I mean, it's like Mozart. He's always fresh. It always sounds like it was written yesterday. It is familiar, but it's always wonderful. That's going to be in the Southern Theater this weekend. And then remind us about CSO Holiday Pops.
That is Friday evening, December the 6th at 8 p.m. And Saturday, two performances, the 7th at 3 and then at 8 p.m., and then Sunday matinee at the 8th at 3 p.m. again.
And you're going to wear your red hat with the bells. Yes.
When Santa makes his appearance, yes. I put that
Santa's
on.
Santa's coming. Santa is coming to the Ohio Theater. He'll probably fly over Capitol to get to the Ohio Theater.
He'll wave.
That's right. But Santa Claus will be there as well. I thank you both, Ronald J. Jenkins. I'll see you tonight for Messiah. I will see you next weekend at Mace
Wonderful.
Hall. Linda Hassler, thank you very much. Let's go out with a little music that you may recognize from Messiah. Welcome back. This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. We were talking about holiday presentations with Linda Hassler from Capital University and Ron Jenkins from the Columbus Symphony Chorus, reminding everybody Handel's Messiah is in the Southern Theater this weekend. Well, not the Messiah himself, Handel's oratorio. Well, you never know. Handel's oratorio Messiah is in the Southern Theater this weekend with the Columbus Symphony Orchestra and Chorus, conducted by Russin Milanov. The choir is, of course, prepared by Ron Jenkins. And Linda Hassler's wonderful transformative program in Mays Hall at Capital University, December 5th through the 8th. Everything you can get from kappa.com, the ticket office. It is my pleasure to welcome back to the program Catherine Donsmeyer, who is a soprano, who is now an impresario, who is the brains behind a brand new initiative called Schubert Talk, which begins this weekend downtown and is going to encompass music, poetry, playwriting. Knowing Catherine, it'll be a kaleidoscope. And it is something, if you need to get out of the house or you want to be, or someone's kicking you out of the house, kick yourselves down to see Catherine Donsmeyer this weekend. Welcome.
Hello, Christopher. Thanks for having me.
Your husband, David Donsmeyer, is the conductor of the Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra, but he's not here, so we don't care. I bring that up only because
<He's busy. laughs>
the two of you together are more fun than as you try to sort of one-up each other and things like that. So we'll definitely bring him back, but I'm delighted to have you here.
No problem.
Tell me about Schubert Talk. First of all, who is Schubert?
Oh, Schubert is amazing. I grew up with Schubert's music. You know, I'm native German and just learned a lot of him and from him, his music. It's very, you know, it's Volks music. It speaks to my heart. You know, it's very uplifting. It's also thought-provoking. I like that. So, and to bring it here, it's wonderful. I think American people need to hear a lot more Schubert. I know they do with Pro Musica. I know a lot. And I thought, why not more?
Schubert is a Viennese composer who died in 1831. So why is he relevant today? And why did you name a series after him?
Why is a good point. As it speaks to me. You know, I was sitting in the summer with Mark Haig, the pianist, and said, hey, we want to do a lot more Lieder.
Lieders? So, what is Lieder?
Songs. Sorry, okay. I should translate that. Then it came quickly, you know, combined with talks, with like the old setting was 19th century. Schubert was holding these gatherings in his home, meeting friends, writers, poets, actors, dancers. They all come together, make music, recite, reading, and having good food and drinks, of course, right? So, of course, they wanted to drink. So I would love to do this on Sunday,
I'm
too.
I'm not going to say it, but go ahead. You know, yes, indeed.
So I thought, why not having it now? I think we need this more. I want to be closer with the public. So when I sing opera, for example, I'm so far away and play a certain role. When I'm doing songs, it's a very intimate setting. It's myself. And I can connect more to the public. And then afterwards, my friend is baking Madeleines, for example, they bring cookies, and then we can have, you know, a nice chit-chat. I create a living set, a living area. How do you say that? No, living room.
Living room, yes.
Yes, thank you.
A salon.
A salon, yeah, even better. So I love that word. To just meet everyone, to greet everyone, to like, you can ask any question you might have, you know, to get to make more friends. To connect more.
You're bringing some friends with you to perform Sunday.
Yes.
You're bringing Chiquita Mullins-Lee, who
She's
is a
great.
Wonderful playwright,
mm-hmm.
Whose works have been done by Catco and all kinds of different places. And you're also bringing Mark Lomax,
the
drummer, composer, musical personality extraordinaire. What will their roles be? How is this going to work? First, let's get real, first of all. When and where?
So this Sunday, 7 p.m., Columbus Performing Arts Center at the Van Fleet Theater, 7 p.m., and you can get your tickets right at the door, 6:30, or you go online, musictalkshow.org, and get your tickets. It's just $10.
Show
so.
Up. Just
show up.
Up.
Just
show
go
up.
Get there. Come with your PJs on. Some dancing lady I met at Zumba the other day, she said, when is your next event? Yeah, it's Sunday. Oh, my gosh. What, in the evening?
I'm in my PJs already. It's like, you know what? It's casual. Just come in your
come
PJs.
Come in your PJs. Okay. So, you may regret saying that because you're going to see see a lot of jammies on Sunday night, and I may be in some of them. This is the performing. Is that downstairs on Park Street downtown?
It's Franklin Avenue.
Franklin Avenue,
yes,
downtown.
Franklin Avenue.
The Van Fleet Performing Arts Center.
There will be parking lot. No problem.
Yeah, there
for
is.
Parking.
There's great parking
it's
right
perfect.
There. Yes, that's easy
it's
to park easy. And easy to get to.
Yes.
What will Mark Lomax and Chiquita Mullins Lee be doing with you on Sunday night?
Chiquita's brilliant. I gave her the artistic freedom. Okay, first of all, I said to her, I want you to have, you know, I sing these Schubert songs, and she can write what, you know, her moves, what she feels about these songs, and doesn't have to have the, like, word-to-word translation. I didn't want that, you know, because I'm singing them already.
So is she relating to the songs and,
yes,
and what
reflecting.
She's writing and doing?
Yes,
good.
That's
okay.
Perfect, because she is taking the emotions out of it, the sense she reflects on the.
So you
songs.
Will be singing in German,
yes,
right? Which
I'm
is his language,
German.
And your
yes,
native language.
Yes, I'm singing
language.
In German,
right?
But she reflects that I'm saying a short 1-2 sentences in poetic form, what the song is about. But she will take over and does her poetry, and mm-hmm. then it comes back to a song. And so yeah, she has done good work. Lots of poetry.
And Mark Lomax, what will he be doing?
He will be our guest speaker. That's phenomenal. He's. I love.
You
I saw his TED Talk.
You can't do better. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You can't
he's
do better.
Genius. I love him. Yeah. So, he comes and give his talk about trust, and I think that's a very, extremely important topic nowadays. I mean, to bring that back. I mean, he did that talk. I think 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago. We need that talk. Transformative power, activating the transformative power of trust. And he also makes, I think, a short intro to his newest project. So
now you could have easily and will and have done, and you will again, done a recital. You could have done something with a pianist and
and
with nothing else. And that would have been, that would have been wonderful.
I
and you've done
want
that
to.
Before. But that's not what this is. You've decided to add several different components to it. And you've already announced dates, I think, for March for the mm-hmm. second presentation. So how do you envision this project going forward?
I love collaboration. So I love to get to know new artists. For example, Chiquita, I didn't know before, right? I just met her.
Now, how did you get hooked up with her? That's interesting to me.
That's very interesting.
How did you meet?
I saw her at a Shakespeare play that was brilliant. And she caught my attention, of course. But also I phoned her. I just simply gave her a phone call. And actually, first I thought, hey, yeah, that's Ohio Poetry Out Loud. There's your competition when I want, you know, I would like to have some young people who want to write and perform poetry. And so I tried. So that didn't work out quite. So for some different reasons. So I asked her, I was like, hey, you know what? You're so cool. We had so fun chats on the phone, like hours long. I'm not kidding. It was an hour. One time we talked an hour. And I'm like, wow.
Knowing you, I actually believe that in a wonderful way. You know.
So we just laughed. And she said, yes, she would love to. And I'm so, so happy and thrilled that she has written really good stuff. It gave me goosebumps.
So if I come to this on Sunday night, mm-hmm. I'm going to hear some music. I'm going to hear some words. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to hear talk by I'm going to be with... four incredibly creative people. Who is your pianist? Tell me about your pianist.
Yeah, it's Mark Haig, Dr. Mark Haig. He is, I knew him from Opera Project Columbus when I worked there. He was the rehearsal pianist. And so we got to know each other. And he talks German. You know, that was for me like, what? So I had to be careful what I say, right? So
I only know dirty. I can't, yeah. Yeah. No.
So for me, it's always good to like, oh, let's talk German. And so we connect a little more and, yeah, let's do some music together. So we met during the summer and picked out some songs, familiar and unfamiliar songs. They're not so heard.
Schubert wrote about 600 songs, I believe. Some of them are 2 pages long, but they are very profound. I mean, they're an incredible 2 pages, and not everybody can do them. They're challenging in a way, but they're not really challenging for the audience because he is such a storyteller mm-hmm. in his music. And I think what you're describing to me, what you're going to be doing with your colleagues, all of you, is telling stories. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's very accurate. It's very in some way, it's very simple because, as you said, the tunes are very simple, like folky, mm-hmm. right? Folk
yeah,
song.
Yeah.
And as you said, the one song I'm singing, for example, is First Loss, Erster Verlust. It's a one page.
First Loss. Now,
yes.
Is this your first?
No, it's not my first starter song, but it's
no,
for
no,
example.
No, but is the protagonist, is this person singing about the loss of a love affair or what kind of a loss? Or do we need to know that?
That's the thing. I want you to imagine what you feel. So I'm never going to tell you what you have to feel. And I think, you know, I feel my own things and that's, you know, that's who I am. So, you know, First Loss is a very, it could be your first love. You lost some, you know, your teenage years.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. It could be a lot of things. It could be someone who is deceased and you try to touch that person
yeah.
in some way who is not with you anymore. So for me, it has a lot of different meanings also.
But,
and I have to say every other day it has some certain other meanings, how I'm feeling.
But you aren't giving us a sad evening, right?
No, it's no. There's also Musenson. It's a very quick piece. And
Musenson is about Cupid, right? It's about, you know, Cupid's dart hitting you in the heart, you know, and or kicking you somewhere else.
There's the welcome song. There's the spring song. I call it the welcome song to greet everyone in the evening. And this is a very fun and easy song. So, of course, there's also Gretchen. It's a little bit dramatic because Schubert could also be very traumatic.
He began writing these songs when he was 15 years old.
He was so young.
And he died when he was 31. So he was kind of in a hurry, I guess. There wasn't a great life expectancy.
He knew already he wasn't.
He wasn't going to be around long. But my God, what he accomplished in that time was extraordinary. You and your husband moved here how many years ago?
Three or four years ago.
That you actually bought a home. You moved yourself. You have a couple of kids, and you moved to the community, right?
Yes.
Because a lot of people they sort of visit, but they don't move here. You actually moved here.
We moved here.
Yes. David is the conductor and music director of the Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra. You are singing with several different opera companies and working a lot. Are you German or Austrian?
I'm German.
He's Austrian, you're German,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so that's our fight, you know? It's kind of like, oh, the
That's
German
your
one.
Fight, yes. Yes.
No, we're always making fun of it. It's usually.
Well, what's it like having two musicians in the film? My God, you know, is it a good thing that one of you or the other is busy and not home?
Sometimes, of course, yeah.
Yes.
It gives me the freedom, right, to be noisy because when I start singing, it's just loud and he needs, like, study his scores. So he's like,
He can go sit in the garage and study
yeah,
his scores.
I let him, you know, how about we build some, you know, side shed or some extra house. No, it's okay. It's fine.
Well, now, how are you? Because you also lived in Illinois for a while, I believe.
Yes.
I mean, how are you finding Columbus?
Oh, it's great.
As a place to make music and the audience isn't.
It's wonderful. It's a pleasure. You meet so many different people. And the arts, I think it's growing tremendously over the last few years I've been living here. And I think over 6 years I'm in America to always come here from Chicago just to for a visit, you know, for another Pre Musica event. That was amazing to see the transformation, the downtown, the changes. I have to say, first when I arrived, I was walking with the kids down the street in downtown, and it didn't feel quite safe. You know, I was like, I don't. Yes.
Really? Here?
Yes.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Like, what about 4 years ago, let's say?
Right.
Or five. And then it changed when I came back and really moved here. So I realized, hey, there are changes going on. That I think the music, the artsy, the art galleries and all the things people try to, you know, lift the spirits up. I think that helps a lot, that people have hope and have something to do.
Well, there's many a weekend, and the weekend would be sort of, they would overlap into maybe starting Thursday, going to Tuesday, where if you go downtown, the theaters are all lit up. I mean, they're busy. I mean, all of Kappa's theaters downtown are busy. There's a lot of great music in churches all throughout the area, not just downtown, but certainly in the suburbs as well. I want you to remind people in the few minutes we have left of Schubert Talk, which is a new initiative that you began. It began out of chats you had last summer. And I know you emailed me at one point and said, what would you think of this? And I think, sign me up. I'll be there the first night, and I will be.
You're wonderful.
This is going to be at downtown at the Van Fleet Performing Arts Center on Franklin Avenue this Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Now, it's a lousy TV night. Never mind your Netflix, because that'll be there for Monday night. But Sunday night, you should come downtown for the Schubert eating. So I'm going to be walking into almost like a living room set.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not,
yes.
I'm not going to be sitting with my hands folded in my lap in a concert hall.
No, you can,
being polite,
you can
and things
make
like that.
Some new friends. You know, it should be very casual. And of course, I mean, when you come in, you try to I just need to sit down somewhere. It is, of course. But it's a very, you know, for me, it's also the first Schubert Talk event. So for me, it's also new, you know. So we'll be fine. I have a couch there. There's two chairs. There's a piano. I say hi to everyone. And then we have some music. And
you did mention you're having cookies, too. I mean, you did say that. So
yes.
So, okay.
Probably my friend Colleen Daly, she helps me a lot. And she said, hey, I'm baking for you. And I think that's brilliant. We all need these friends.
And you can get tickets at the door, right?
Yes.
Now, you're doing this again in March. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're thinking about for March?
Mm-hmm, I have it. It's totally different, okay? It's Traumatic Brain Injuries Awareness Month.
Really?
Yes, it is. And it's a very, very personal theme for me. And I wanted to bring more awareness about it. And I met this beautiful friend, Amy Zelma. She has her own campaign, Not Invisible. I met her and I called her. So I actually called her. And
you're good at that, calling people. Oh, yeah.
No,
but
you know what? We had this live chat. So I love it. So it was face to face.
Good.
You know. So she inspired me. And I was like, I want you here. Are you coming? And she comes from, is it Minnesota? Mm-hmm. She's driving. She brings her dog. And I don't know if the dog is allowed on stage, but okay. But she will, you know, make a presentation and gives that her own story because she suffered.
She had an injury.
Yeah,
yes.
She was falling down on the ice and that was it, the crack or... You know.
And there'll also be music. You'll be singing.
There will be music. So this is the guest speaking part about this.
So you always have a guest speaker. Who's not necessarily related to exactly the music being done that night. It's complementing it in a way. Is that fair?
It's all, you know, that's me. So I would love to bring as much different things in one spot. So this will be the guest speaking part, and it will be a combination of, I'm thinking of maybe a monologue, maybe an actor bringing in, maybe a dancer. So this is still a little bit work in progress, but I have it kind of set. So, and music, of course.
Okay, one more time. This Sunday night, the 24th at
7 p.m.
7 p.m. Yeah. You can get tickets at the door. Come around 6:30. The Van Fleet Performing Arts Center on Franklin Avenue. And there is a big, well-lit parking lot right there. So it's not hard to park down there. And it's a nice space. I've been down there. It's a very nice space inside
and,
for this as well.
Perfect, yes.
Catherine Donsmeyer is part of Schubert Talk. She will be singing. Mark Lomax will be speaking. Chiquita Mullins-Lee will be giving wonderful words. Mark
Hake
will be playing. That's this Sunday night. Thank you, Catherine Donsmeyer,
for
joining us. Thank you also, Ronald Jenkins and Linda Hassler. See you all tonight at the Southern Theater for Messiah, and see you Sunday night on Franklin Avenue with Catherine Donsmeyer. I'm Christopher Purdy. Thank you, Kyle McKinnon, our producer. Thank you very much. Everybody, good afternoon.